Our second scripture lesson comes to us this day from Matthew's Gospel, from chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Hear the word of God, for it is given to and for you. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then Herod sent the wise men to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I also may go and pay him homage.' When the wise men had heard the king, they set out. And there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they knelt down and they paid him homage. And then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own countries by another road." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. During the week, Nancy Prince works as one of our front desk volunteers. We have volunteers at the front desk on weekdays in the mornings. And just before Christmas, after the service of remembrance, she asked me a wonderful question. "Lauren," she asked, "what do you see in yourself that is a gift from your father?" Oh my. What a question. What an amazing question. My father died almost 40 years ago, and Nancy handed me a gift. No one's ever asked me that before. What gifts do you see in yourself that were given to you by your father? Now, Nancy and I have known each other for many years. I served as the associate pastor at the Ewing Presbyterian Church before I came to Nassau. I came to Nassau over 20 years ago. So we've known each other for a long time. Dave Prince was the head of staff. And so he and I and Nancy and my husband Michael became fast friends. But during this past week, I've thought a lot about Nancy's question. After the service of remembrance, when I shared about my parents, she really wanted to know more about my dad. She had known my mom, but she wanted to know about my father, more about me. And she was not asking me about material gifts given once upon a time, but the gifts of character and personhood, that last beyond a lifetime. I answered her that the gifts that I see in myself, the gifts from my father all those years ago that are still alive in me, are a very strong commitment to the positive. And also a dedication to a life of faith. And a humility to admit and learn from my mistakes. And most of all, the gift of laughter. We laughed a lot in my home, and in my home with Michael and Josie and my family, we laugh a lot. It was a great gift to be able to remember these things and name these things, gifts to remember, gifts to be enjoyed in this lifetime, and gifts to pass on. What are the gifts that you remember, that enjoy in this lifetime, and want to pass on? Matthew is the gospel of gifts. And we've met the first carriers of those gifts today in the form of the wise men. We see them here in Kate Cosgrove's contemporary painting, Nativity 3. See, this is a full sweep of the Christmas and Epiphany story we've just lived through. We see a quiet, moonlit Bethlehem. There's a stable with Mary and Joseph smiling at the baby. There's a cow wondering where he's supposed to eat since the baby has taken his feeding trough. We see the shepherds and an abundance of sheep. There's more sheep than buildings. We see Gabriel pronouncing good news. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And we see as an addendum the wise men edging in. The tableau is complete. Christmas is now over. Bethlehem can rest. Final pause, long beat, cut. Blessing and amen, and we can go home. But not so fast. Just when we're ready to pack up the ribbon and the ornaments and the candles and the wreaths, and before the wise men are wrapped up in tissue paper and relegated to the bottom of a cardboard box, Matthew tucks in one more story, one more gift for this Epiphany, the 12 days of Christmas. Let's open this and unpack this package. Who are these wise men? We know them from every pageant we've ever seen. They wander into Bethlehem. Magi is actually the Greek word used to identify Babylonian and Zoroastrian astrologers. And only in Matthew's gospel do we meet these gazers of the sky. We know them as traveling envoys, literate political figures, emissaries from the courts of the East, three kings. But in so much about them, we are mistaken. Scripture never calls them kings. Scripture doesn't say that there are three. It's not from Scripture, but only from oral tradition that we associate their names and their countries. Balthazar is from Arabia, Caspar from India, Melchior from Persia. We don't even know if they were all men. And yet, for all their wisdom, they're not mind readers. They may follow a star, but they don't know what's going to happen. They possess no special knowledge that allows them to travel directly to Bethlehem. Dealing with stars and charts, their eyes are in the world above them, and they've not understood the likes of Herod. And yet, God chooses to reveal Jesus through these non-believers. God chooses to reveal Jesus not through believers, but through these wanderers, seekers, Gentiles, magi, traveling desert ambassadors, stargazers from Parthia, Armenia, and the regions of Judea, emissaries sent to greet a new king and to offer gifts. And they were overwhelmed with joy. They saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down to pay him homage, and opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold for a king, precious and costly. Frankincense, a gift for a priest to use in the temple. So sweet smelling, it provides a sense of mystery and holiness. And myrrh, a gift for one who is going to die, a burial spice, a fragrance used to embalm. And there it is. God's gift, tucked into the countless nativities and pageants, right there laid before us as the magi stretch out their hands, lies the gospel gift himself. Our Prince of Peace, our salvation, our forgiveness, our priest, a gift we remember, and the gift that we enjoy for our lifetime and beyond, and the gift that we pass on. And like it or not, Christmas or not, our Jesus takes our hand and won't let us stay at the stable one moment longer. He leads us to a very grown-up world where faith is tested, doubt is all around us, injustice must be faced down at every turn, sorrow is a companion, and illness is everywhere. And so we follow, due north and up the road and over the hill to where he demands our trust and our truthfulness and our devotion. It's a sobering message, this Epiphany. Because for weeks we've been singing our carols and our hymns and lighting our candles and wrapping our presents. But there's really no respite for the Christian. There never is. There never will be, because the Christian life is not birthed in sweet gentleness. It's breathtaking. And stirring, yes, absolutely it is. But sweet and mild? Never. And then our eyes move from that stable and then that road to Calvary. And our eyes meet this table. And we don't know what to say, because sometimes it's too much gift and too much responsibility, too much taste, too much goodness, too much truth, too much love, God's gift spread out before us, the body broken, the blood poured out for us. But here's the thing. Here's the gift of it and the taste of it and the blood poured out for it. Here's the sacrament and the love of it. In the face of this baby, in the face of this road to Calvary, and in the dark nights of all of our souls, in the face of any Herod the world can produce, we belong not to ourselves, but to the gift. In the face of any Herod the world can produce, we belong not to ourselves, but to this gift. Take and eat and remember and live and pass it on. Thanks be to God.